If you've ever seen the giant castle-like structure at the corner of North Bend Road and Coleraine Avenue, you know how iconic the Mount Airy Water Tower is for the neighborhood. Now, after standing for nearly a century, the facility could undergo a major change. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about the potential redevelopment and what the Water Tower's historic landmark designation will mean for any plans are Greater Cincinnati Waterworks Supervising Engineer Rick Reese, Yard & Company co-founder Kevin Wright, and Cincinnati Preservation Executive Director Beth Johnson. Thank you all for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Rick, explain what the Mount Airy Water Tower is. I think it's actually a bunch of tanks and towers and the original purpose of the whole thing.
Sure. The facility actually contains 14 tanks in total, 7 large diameter tanks and 7 smaller tanks. Combined, they hold about 8.5 million gallons of water. However, because of changes in the development of Hamilton County, and changes in, you have multi-story buildings on top of hilltops now, and changes in the standards for water pressure and water flow, we can only use about 25% of that capacity now.
Oh, okay. And so what are they used for today? Are they still used for water storage?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, I know Greater Cincinnati Waterworks has been talking for years about the need to repair and possibly even replace some of this big structure. Why, Rick? What's wrong with it?
The materials used 100 years ago are different than what we use today. So the masonry, it deteriorates over time, and we've had about a 30-year cycle to repair that masonry. The concrete towers, they've needed repair about every 15 years.
Okay. So they're just getting worn out.
Right.
Okay. Well, Beth, I know the city of Cincinnati designated this as a historic landmark several years ago. Can you tell us just a little bit about the history of these water towers and why they look like castles? I mean, they're not the only ones. There's that one near the foot of Mount Adams next to where WCPO is located. Why do some of these things look like castles? Tell us a little bit about that history.
Yeah, so these towers were built in 1926 to 1927. They were the brainchild of J.A. Hiller, who was the superintendent of Cincinnati Waterworks at that time. He was an engineer by trade, but kind of thought of himself as an architect as well. And actually, the tower that you speak of at by WCPO is the Elsinore Arch, which is also a waterworks feature. And he was inspired by that to build the Mount Airy Water Towers. And he just truly believed that just because something was utilitarian didn't mean that it shouldn't have beauty. And I think the Cincinnati Waterworks, in the history of Cincinnati Waterworks, that has really been, I think, a foundational thought, because so many of the waterworks facilities, whether it's a water tower or the water treatment places, have all have beauty to them and have all had architectural significance. And so when he built them in 1926, 1927, that was still the thought that he carried on from even previous administrations.
Okay, and he just really liked castles, I guess.
Yeah. So it's designed in like kind of a medieval inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what does the historic designation mean for what can and cannot happen to this water tower, which actually is a group of tanks, as Rick just explained?
Yeah, so it was designated in 2018, 2019, around there, and it was brought forth by the Mount Airy Town Council, and they were obviously very worried about wanting to make sure that it remained there. And so through the process, they sat down with Greater Cincinnati Waterworks, as well as the city's Historic Preservation Office and Administration, to figure out kind of a way forward to be able to respect the history while being able to get it designated. And so what the designation simply means is that there is a review process for changes that have to be made. It doesn't mean that demolition can't happen, but what it means is that there needs to be a discussion of why demolition, economic feasibility, which obviously is going to be a big part of the discussion for the Mount Airy Water Towers, as well as what are paths forward or maybe compromises that can happen where maybe some of them stay, some of them get demolished. And so it just provides a process to have that discussion, as well as to make sure that community input is part of that process as well.
I see. So it doesn't take anything off the table completely, but it says, hey, Waterworks can't just make this decision without involving the community and going through these steps in this process.
Yeah. And during the process, we actually created design guidelines in conjunction with Greater Cincinnati Waterworks of what can and cannot be done, or what can and cannot be done as they look at the process. And so those were, well, what will need to be followed as the process goes forward.
Okay. We're talking about the Mount Airy Water Towers and potential redevelopment of the site. What do you think should happen? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. And if you live in Mount Airy or near these towers, we especially want to hear from you. So, Rick, I know Waterworks pledged to renovate the facility after the community uproar a few years ago and the city's historic designation, but that's a lot more expensive than was originally thought, right? Can you walk us through the dollar figures there?
Sure. So we retained a design builder for the rehabilitation project. That project kicked off last summer, and we're in phase one right now, which is the design portion. So that started with the assessment of the existing conditions of the facility, coming up with different alternatives that we might use for rehabilitating the facility, looking through those alternatives and selecting the ones we wanted to move forward with. And right now, we have the preliminary basis of design, and the cost for that we have been given is $36 million.
Mm. And how does that compare to what you thought, you know, a few years ago the cost might be?
It's about 2 to 3 times.
Oh, goodness. So that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, this is where you come in. So Waterworks hired your firm to do a feasibility study. Can you tell us about that and the work that you all have been doing?
Yeah, it's been an interesting project for us. We were originally hired by Waterworks with the assumption, this was before that big number came in from the design build process, with the assumption that they were going to remain operating water tanks. And we were going to initially look at surrounding sites. There's a multi-acre site adjacent to the towers that's owned by the Cincinnati Recreation Commission. There's a site on the other corner of the main intersection there that's owned by the local CDC. And we were going to think about how could we leverage these water tanks if they're going to get this reinvestment into kind of other reinvestment around the tanks. When we started, we learned at the same time Waterworks did about the big number. And so that basically led us to a point of these aren't going to be water tanks anymore. So we kind of reset our process and started then asking, okay, what, we're still looking at the sites around the towers, but we're kind of between a rock and a hard place. We don't want full demo. These towers are historic. They're beloved. They're part of the neighborhood's fabric. They're literally the logo of the neighborhood. And we also have the historic designation, which has limitations on what we can do. Then that was spearheaded by the community. And so we started a process of thinking through what partial demolition could look like to take the money that Waterworks originally was planning to spend to continue to have them be water tanks to preserve a portion of them. So we started to look at the ones that are most visible from the street. What would it mean to keep those? And then that could potentially create a really interesting public space with the backdrop of the towers there. And began looking at different uses for that sort of thing. As Rick said, there are 14 total towers, but if you're driving by, for the most part, you're really only seeing 3 to 5. So most people don't necessarily know how many are up there. And that's not to say that we're taking off the table full restoration, but we've started looking at compromises as part of the process.
And Rick, when Kevin says they won't be used, you know, for water storage anymore, does that mean if partial demolition becomes part of the deal, will none of these tanks be used to store water? What are you all envisioning for the future there?
Right. If there's a partial demolition, as Kevin mentioned, that wouldn't leave as enough usable water storage for us there for it to make sense to continue using that for water storage. So we would likely be looking for another site nearby or in the area to build a more traditional, modern, elevated water tank.
And what do those look like? Are those kind of like the big globes on legs that people think of when they think about
kind of thing?
That's the older style. The newer style, we have one in Sycamore Township, north of Blue Ash, that's more attractive than that.
But probably won't look like a castle.
It won't look like a castle.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, we will continue this conversation after a short break. Later in the program, how local families that rely on food assistance are bracing for impact. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about the Mount Airy Water Towers, their historic landmark designation, and the future of the structure. My guests are Greater Cincinnati Waterworks Supervising Engineer Rick Reese, Yard and Company co-founder Kevin Wright, and Cincinnati Preservation Executive Director Beth Johnson. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So, Kevin, before our break, you were talking about how partial demolition is one of the ideas under consideration right now. It hasn't been decided, but that's something that's kind of on the table. Can you talk more about that and what some of those options might look like?
Yeah. So we we had a digital survey out that's still out, and it's going to be open until Thanksgiving. So I want to make sure we promote that because we want people to keep taking that survey and giving us feedback. In that survey, we ask about things like the importance of the towers. No surprise, people think they're important and they're iconic and historic. And then we started asking questions around amenities like restaurants, retail, arts and culture. We asked questions about types of programming and events, types of green space, whether connections in a Mount Airy forest should be considered a priority. So we asked those questions through the survey. We also held what we call a charrette last week. It was 2 days long where people came in and out of our space and talked to us, and we had design options that we trotted out there. And people, the way I've been framing it is that the majority of people want to save the towers. They love the towers. When you start having a question about compromise, the majority of them understand the compromise.
Being the partial demolition.
Right, partial demolition. And what's really interesting about the site, if you were to save, say, the three or four towers that front the intersection, you're at the highest point in the city of Cincinnati. And if you were to put a restaurant or a cafe or a park or a playground, you have views down into Mount Airy Forest that are pretty, where they are extremely unique, and then views out into the city. So people really gravitated to that option. They gravitated to the idea that this could be sort of a trailhead to Mount Airy Forest, and you could come in and out of the forest and spend time at this location. We also heard a lot of feedback around trying to create a system to get up to the top of the towers. So some kind of viewing deck. I have been on top of them, and it's really just outstanding views of the Mill Creek Valley and downtown and the forest. So that's kind of the majority of what we've been hearing.
You mentioned this digital survey. We do have a link to that on our website, wvxu.org. So folks, if you're looking for it, you can look there. Beth, you talked about how partial demolition could happen with this structure, even though it's a historic landmark. Can you talk a little bit more about the steps that it would take? You said there's a process, there has to be community feedback. Walk us through that process a little bit more.
Yeah, so what the process would be that the kind of the option that Greater Cincinnati Waterworks and hopefully the community come to that they want to put forward, they'd have to submit an application to the Historic Conservation Board. Hopefully during the process, they'd also be working with the Urban Conservator, who is the staff member for that board. And they would bring that forward to the Historic Conservation Board. There's what they call a pre-hearing, which is a time for community members to come and kind of make their voice heard to the Urban Conservator, and they report that feedback out in their staff report, and they would look at the kind of the application that's put forward and look at the guidelines that have been created, as well as look at the economic hardship portion, which I'm sure is going to need to be part of this application. And the staff would make a recommendation to the Historic Conservation Board, and then the Historic Conservation Board would review the application and make a decision on it. The Historic Conservation Board is a 7-member community board, or community members, City of Cincinnati citizen board, board that are appointed by the mayor, city manager. And so it has architects, developers, historians, people that are knowledgeable about different aspects of historic preservation. And that's a public hearing, so public members are able to come to the hearing as well.
And then does the Historic Conservation Board, I'm trying to remember, do the decisions from that board stand, or is that something that gets City Council review after the Historic Conservation Board has made its decision?
For this type of application, it's what they call a quasi-judicial, and so it would, the Historic Conservation Board is the final decision maker unless there is an appeal of their decision, but this is not one that would go on to City Council.
I see. And if there is an appeal, would that go to City Council?
No, it would actually go to the Zoning Board of Appeals and then to Circuit Court. This might end up being a little bit different just because it is a city-owned property. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, I'm assuming City Council is still going to have a voice in this because of allocation of funds. But the traditional process would be what I outlined.
Okay. Kevin, you talked about how you've been, you know, interacting with Mount Airy residents in different ways through mm-hmm. the charrette, through this survey that folks are, they want to keep the towers, but they're understanding that there might be some partial demolition that has to happen. Has housing come up at all as an option? I mean, we've talked so much on this show. There's so much need for more housing mm-hmm. throughout Cincinnati. Is that an option that has come up at all?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's important to start, before I answer that question, to say that the interior of the towers are pretty unusable okay. by nature of that they were water tanks.
Turn those into castle apartments.
You can't. No. Okay. It would be very costly, and we can't think of them as a traditional historic building that can be adaptively reused. It's just not that simple with these towers. But what we laid out on the table was looking at it's about a 10-acre Cincinnati Recreation Commission site adjacent to the towers that has a tiny playground on it that we're being told is not used very often. So we actually looked at that site for single-family housing and for multifamily housing and engaged around that. The community is very pro home ownership and very pro single family at this point. And so they gravitated more towards that option. The other option was leaving that space as a green space, but more enhanced with trails that can maybe connect into Mount Airy Forest. And so they also liked that option as well. But yeah, when you think about whatever happens with the towers, trying to leverage that into a center of activity that can bring the Mount Airy Business District back to life. Housing is a great thing to have on the table. More density up near the business district would obviously help. And with potential connections into the forest that are a little easier, could be a really great address for people to call home.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. When it comes to partial demolition, we've seen examples of partial demolition of other historic structures. There's a big old church on Gilbert Avenue that was demolished except for that front spire. Beth, I don't know if you know which church I'm talking about there.
There's actually two.
Two, okay.
There's two. There's one at Taft and Gilbert, which is actually Cincinnati Preservation owns that. It was the church that Lyman Beecher would speak at, First Presbyterian. And then there's another one, I believe also on, I'm not sure if it's on Gilbert or not, but the tower remained. And then there's a new housing development that was built where the church used to be.
Mm-hmm. Are those, I mean, I'm guessing that some people have maybe mixed reviews of that partial demolition, glad that some of the historic stuff was saved, but maybe not super excited about, you know, the way it's attached to the condos or the housing development or whatever. Do you hear from people about that kind of partial demolition, Beth, in terms of community reaction to it?
In regards to those ones, the second one that I talked about that has the housing adjacent to it, it's actually not attached to the historic spire, but the historic church had actually previously been demolished, and what was demolished was a more modern 1970s. So that one I don't think was as big of a concern. The First Presbyterian, I know that was way before my time here in Cincinnati, but from what I've been told that, you know, it was a little bit of a heartache for the community because it was such a historically important church. And so that's kind of where the compromise came from, was that we'll demolish the majority of the church, but we'll be able to keep the spire at the corner as kind of a monument to the history of what was there.
Yeah. Do you ever think about, or have you thought about those examples at all, Kevin, when you're thinking partial demolition? Is anybody worried about that? They want to make sure that, you know, it still looks like the mm-hmm. structure that they think of and see every day.
Well, we haven't gotten into architecture yet, but that, I think, is probably a later phase when we decide on what's happening to think through, okay, do you want to go more modern architecture to really differentiate from the towers or try to match them? I think Beth did a really good job of describing those two examples. They did come up during the sessions, and there was a lot more intention, I think, with the second one you mentioned, which I think is on Madison, if we're thinking.
Madison, that's right.
And then, yeah, the Walnut Hills, Gilbert and Taft one was more of an act of protest, if I believe, where it was coming down and preservation advocates stopped it and were able to preserve a tower, which is nice, but it's also just in a parking lot of a funeral home, I believe. So I think this one, if we go down that road, would be more like the Madison example, where we would have more community input on design and how it matches or fits in with the towers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're familiar, weren't you, don't you have a past association with the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Council?
I do.
Okay. So you're familiar with those.
Yeah. Formerly ran the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation.
Okay.
So it's totally a coincidence that both those are in Walnut Hills.
But. Gotcha. But you know a lot about them.
Right.
So that comes in handy, I bet, with all this. So, Rick, I know you've got Kevin kind of leading the charge on this feasibility study and the interaction. Talk about where Waterworks comes into all this. Are you kind of waiting to see how this plays out? Are you tuned into what residents are saying? Where's Waterworks' part in all this?
So Waterworks has participated in all the charrettes that Yards conducted, been in all those meetings. But as far as the rehabilitation project, yes, that's on pause right now. We've come up with the basis of design, and that's the number, the $36 million number to restore and continue to operate the facility as is.
And that'd be the whole thing.
That'd be the whole thing. We haven't started the design of that project yet. We're on pause to see where this other piece of it goes.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that it is designed to store, I think you said, 8.5 million gallons of water, that it can't, there's a gap in terms of what it can store because of just the way it's built and the hilltop and all that. Do you think it'd be difficult to replace the storage that you need with a new structure someplace if you're not using this at all anymore?
No, I don't think so. We have about 2 million gallons of usable water on that facility. And a modern water tank like the one I mentioned in Sycamore Township, that's a 3 million gallon tank. So
does it need a big footprint in terms of land for that?
Not a very large one.
Okay.
A couple acres.
Okay. Okay. I guess things have changed a lot in 100
right.
years, huh? Yeah. Beth, for the parts of this structure, if it does get to partial demolition, I know we're, you know, not there yet. Everything's still on the table. But if it does get to that, for the parts of the structure that will be preserved and restored, how specific are the rules about how that would have to happen because of the historic landmark designation in terms of materials used and that sort of thing?
So it provides flexibility in that if there needs to be alternative materials, there's, again, the process to evaluate how those materials would be used in what capacity, as well as if there needs to be doors or openings cut in, there's allowances for that. And it's going to be about the visibility from the public right of way. And so given if some of it needs to be demolished and they're trying to do the activities more on the interior of the lot because there's hills that mm-hmm. go up to it. So the street face would be really the most important aspect of it that we'd want to keep as is.
Has Cincinnati Preservation taken any kind of position on all this?
No, we haven't. Unfortunately, we're not able to participate in the charrette just because of some other things that were going on in our world. But we're, you know, happy to participate, consult. We realize the realities of the cost of what it's going to take. And so for us, it's mostly just about making sure that whatever kind of the next reiteration or the next project that goes on here is just respectful, as well as that the community is heard. And so for us, it's really important that the neighborhood and the community voice be a big part of it, which it obviously already is.
Yeah. Well, and again, there's a link to that survey on our website, wvxu.org. I've been talking with Greater Cincinnati Waterworks Supervising Engineer Rick Reese, Yard and Company co-founder Kevin Wright, and Cincinnati Preservation Executive Director Beth Johnson. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, how local families who count on federal food assistance are bracing for impact. This is Cincinnati Edition.